prayer for you today and for myself that we would walk by faith and not by sight. As we're in Hebrews chapter 11, Brother Joel's teaching us about examples of people that have lived by faith. And we want to be an example for those around us in our church, in our community, and in our world. Let's stand as we give God the glory for all that He's done in our lives today. It's hymn number 56. Would you stand and let's sing together?
Glad you're part of this time of worship today. Glad you're back with us in this beautiful renovated sanctuary. It is so good to be back in here and a part of worship here. This is so much more comfortable to be in here as opposed to being in the fellowship hall. But thank the Lord we had the fellowship hall and we were able to do that for five Sundays, but good to be back. Glad you're here. Guests, glad that you're with us today. In our newly renovated sanctuary, take a few minutes, walk around, welcome your friends. Glad you're with us today.
Thank you.
seated, let's sing that first verse together. Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. Tim is trust and obey. It's usually sung for an invitation, but we're going to sing it in the middle of the service today as we think about trust and faith in the Lord. 571. Sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus for our offertory hymn. There are three stanzas, so let's stand and sing and worship the Lord together as we sing.
What a friend we have in Jesus, our Savior breaks the bread.
Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Well, when you're going through challenges and difficult times, how many times do we miss out on the peace of God? Because do it in Ken's strength, or Joel's strength, or your strength. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble?
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts, thanking you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And Father, this morning we ask that you be with those of our church family who are seriously ill. Pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll give them comfort, give them strength, and give them courage this day. Father, we ask that you be with our service, men and women that are serving on home or foreign soil. Pray, Father, that your protective, guiding hand will be upon them. And now, dear Father, as we come to this part of the service where we give back to you a portion of that you've so graciously and generously given to us, we ask that you bless the gift and the giver, and may it be used for your ongoing work here within this church and in this community. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
This time we're going to sing a song we sang a few months ago. It's entitled, In the Days of Noah. Brother Joel will be referencing Noah in the scripture today and in the sermon. And it's written and arranged by Teresa Bain's uncle. And his name is Otis. What was his last name?
Otis Moore.
And we've come to learn recently they're doing a big billboard or a mural in Boaz of music, related to music. And Gary Waldrop, one of our friends, is featured on that prominently. He played with the Pickers on some of our recordings and in our concerts and taught several of the Pickers. But also on there are some music titles. And this is one of the songs that's on the mural, In the Days of Noah, because Teresa's uncle's from that area. And we're going to sing it for you today. This song has been sung over the years many times by the Sneed Choir. And I believe Terry was telling me his son sang this song in the FFA quartet when he was in high school. So it's probably not a well-known song these days, but back during Otis's time, it was pretty well-known, I'm sure. But we're going to sing it for you, and it kind of goes along with Brother Joel's message today. We hope that you'll be blessed, and you'll think about the message of it as we sing.
For our age, that is old school. That is an old school. I hadn't heard that song I can't even remember last time I heard that song. That is so good and perfect for today, because we're going to talk about Noah. Noah is one of the Old Testament characters for today in Hebrews chapter 11. So last Sunday in Hebrews 11, we looked at just kind of a working definition. So when the writer of Hebrews gives this definition of faith, this is not the only defining issue of faith. This is not the only definition that the Scripture teaches us about faith. So I will oftentimes say it something like this. This is not the exhaustive list of faith. So you have to understand the writer of Hebrews, when he's writing this word to the first century Jerusalem church, then in that context, he is writing to them about faith. So he defines what faith is. He defines what faith looks like for the people that he's writing to. Understand his audience. First century Jerusalem Christians who are being persecuted for their faith. So we go back to chapter 10, verse 34, and we see what they're going through. Many of those Christians who claimed Christ and professed Christ, they'd lost their property. Some of them lost their farms. They had lost everything that they owned. So the government had come in and taken everything. Think about that just for a moment. Think about that. All that you have, your home, your vehicles, your clothes, your possessions. And the government comes in and takes away everything that you have. Some of those persecuted Christians then were then put in prison. Some under house arrest. Some put in prison. And then some had lost their lives. Literally, they had been killed for their faith in Christ Jesus. So, he's now speaking to Christians who have not yet had all of that happen to them. But he's telling them, if you, as a brother or sister in Christ, a part of the body of Christ, a part of the church, if you identify with those other brothers and sisters that have lost everything, that are in prison, or that are under house arrest, if you identify with them, if you say, yes, I am one of them, I go to church with him, I go to church with her, I identify with that brother or that sister in Christ. If I identify with them, then there's a strong possibility that this stuff is going to happen to me. I'm going to lose my property. I'm going to lose my freedom. I'm going to lose my life. So he's writing to people who have all of that in their heads. Now, with that said, he then wants to talk to them about faith, about what faith is. What does it actually look like? And so he gives that definition of faith. Well, then Wednesday night we started looking at some of the first examples that he brings up. So now in verses 7 through 12, he gives us three more examples. So let's look at that passage of Scripture. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never even happened before. But by his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that Abraham, when God called him to leave home and go to another land, that God would give him as an inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached that land, God promised him, he lived there by faith, because he was a foreigner in that land, living in tents. So did Isaac, so did Jacob, who inherited the same promise of faith that had been given to Abraham. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations. So he's talking about eternity. Abraham realized that this life, there's only so much that I can have. There's only so much that God will give. It's only going to be so good here. What I'm looking for is something far beyond the here and now. I'm looking for something that has eternal foundations, a city designed and built only by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. But she believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. Well, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt how that promise of God came true. You and I are sitting in this sanctuary today because that promise that God made Sarah and Abraham came true. So he defines faith to a group of people who are looking at these old covenant illustrations and what they did and what they went through. What they are now experiencing and the persecution that they are now experiencing, some of them lost their lives because of their faith in Jesus. So he's saying to them, here's what faith is. Faith is, first of all, it is being certain and sure and confident of hope in a promise. So what is that hope? What do you hope in? What is he talking about hope for? He's talking about a hope that is in something, a promise of hope that will last for all eternity. He is saying to the first century Christians, look beyond the here and now. Look beyond your farm. Look beyond your home. Look beyond your present situation. Look to something that is bigger and far greater, the promise of hope that comes from God. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt, even if we have miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle from God in this life, eventually those miracles in this life are going to run out. We're going to die. Everything that we have, it will be gone. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying it is being certain and sure of putting our hope in the promise of God. And then he says, then faith is certain and sure of what we do not see. Well, what do we not see? We don't see the invisible hand of God. And as the perfect illustration, I wasn't there, you weren't there when God created all that is, the heavens and the earth, but we trust it by faith. And then the lives then of the Old Testament saints then become illustrations. So what we have in this passage of Scripture that I just read is examples of how faith lives. First of all, Noah trusted God and built an ark for the salvation of his family. Secondly, Abraham trusted God to leave his homeland for an unknown place of promise. Third, Abraham trusted God and he lived in tents instead of living in a building, a permanent foundational as far as this earth is concerned. Fourth, Sarah trusted God and she conceived when she was barren and past the age of childbearing. All great illustrations of people who had put their trust and faith in God and a promise of hope for something far greater than what they were going to receive here on this earth. First of all, this saving faith is more than just a single act of receiving Jesus as Savior and Lord. Yes, that's where it starts. That is true. And once we claim Christ as Savior and Lord, then we are fully and finally saved. So don't put words in my mouth here. Don't read into something that I'm not saying. I am not in any way saying that once you repent of your sin and you trust Christ as your Savior and Lord, then at that moment, later on, sometime later on down the line, when you work a little bit harder at it, then you will be saved. No, 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 no. Once we repent of our sin and trust Christ as our Savior and Lord, we are fully and finally saved. But saving faith is so much more than that. It is more than just fire insurance. Saving faith is more than just getting people into heaven. It is that, but it's so much more than that. Saving faith receives Christ as Savior and Lord in order to go on trusting Him in a life of faith. So saving faith is a life of faith. And the evidence of that faith then is our pressing on. Faith that saves is a faith that lives day by day. And that's exactly what these illustrations, these examples give to us in Hebrews 11. So what does saving faith looks like? Well, it looks like Abraham. It looks like Noah. It looks like Sarah. It looks like some of our great old covenant characters. So four truths that I want us to see quickly today. First of all, this. There is always a promised work of God. God speaks and promises in something in the future, and that something will come true. That is the object of faith. We trust God, and we trust what He says will in fact come true. He will do it. He is good enough. He is big enough. He is strong enough. He is powerful enough. He is the one who created all that is. So when God says something will come true, then it will come true. Now, we know that every old covenant promise that was promised by God came true in the new covenant. It's a 100% guarantee. It did happen. We also know that everything that is promised in the new covenant will also come true. Why? Because all of the old covenant promises came true in the new covenant. And the new covenant promises will come true also. We got to be real careful to not put promises in God's mouth, however, that God hasn't promised. After the early worship was over with, I got into a really good conversation with one of our young ladies. She said, "All right, I disagree with something that you said." And I said, "Good, because I probably disagree with something that I said too." So we're all on the same page. And so I was telling about this lady that I talked to several weeks ago, and she said to me about the situation in her life. She said, "Well, this is what I know is going to happen and come true." And I said, "Really, how do you know that?" She said, "Because God promised it to me." I said, "Really, how did God promise that to you?" Because in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't know that that promise comes from God's word. "So how do you know that?" She said, "Oh, I just know it because God told me." I said, "Oh, God told you that." "I don't know that God did tell you that." Well, this young lady that I was having a conversation with about, she said, "I think that God does tell us things." I said, "Oh, I couldn't agree with you more." But what God says to us comes from His Word. And I said to this young lady, "Trust me when I say what she said God had promised to her does not come from God's word. Just trust me on that." So oftentimes, we put promises in God's mouth that actually God doesn't promise at all. So we've got to be very, very, very careful about that. But when God does make a promise in His word, then there's no way around it. It will come true. Whether you want it to come true or not is irrelevant. It will come true. Second, then there's the inner response to faith. Well, there's the outer response to faith, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But the inner response comes from the essence of our faith. So the outer response is just the fruit of the inner response. But without the inner response of faith, then the outward acts are just simply performances. All right, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. He was talking to the religious leaders about this very issue. And here's what He said to them: "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity." So this is the biblical pattern of what faith looks like. There's that inner faith. All right, Paul, we talked about this Wednesday night. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 talks about this being love. So love that is motivated by a heart full of the gospel, the good news. Faith that is sensed in our hearts and in our minds, that is motivated by a love for what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Faith and love that is motivated by God Himself then has an inner strength. And then because of that, then there is this outward obedience, and then God is pleased. Not because of the work itself, but because it came from a heart motivated by the gospel. Religion then looks exactly the opposite. Religion has outward obedience, performance. It has inner hypocrisy. It's pleasing to man. Oh yeah, we all love it. but it is displeasing to God. Third, there is the external response. Noah did what? He built an ark in the desert. That's faith. Abraham left the secure family and home by faith. Sarah got out the diapers and the crib. Saving faith changes the way you live. Your life takes on a dimension that can only be explained by the assurance of things hoped for. Only God can make sense out of an ark in the desert, and only God can make sense out of a woman at Sarah's age bearing a child. Fourth, the life of faith enjoys some measure of God's reward now, but not most of it. Faith, trust God the Father for who He is, for what He's done for us in Christ Jesus, enjoys a peace, a picture. It enjoys a small little piece of what is to come. It's a taste. But one day, when this life is over, we will see it fully and finally. And until then we have this promise and this taste of what we enjoy in faith. You know, I said in the early worship, I said, we oftentimes as Christians, and it's fine, but we oftentimes joke about what we're going to ask God when we get there. What are you going to ask God? What are you going to want to square away? So we make jokes about that. Boy, when I get to heaven, first thing I'm going to ask God is, why did this happen? Or why did it go this way? And I've oftentimes told Ken, for those of you that don't know this, a lot of times Ken will have practice in here on Wednesday night with the praise team. And they'll practice and they've got all the music on and everything is perfectly fine. But then all of a sudden, when I get here sometimes on Sunday mornings, Ken and Scotty and all those guys, they're running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And nothing is right. The sound, something happened to the sound. Something happened to the projector, and they can't get the computers. And it's all kind of messed up. And I look at Ken and go, Ken, what happened between Wednesday night and Sunday morning? And Ken will look at me and go, I don't have any idea. And I tell Ken, I say, when I get to heaven, that's the first thing I'm going to ask the Lord. Lord, what happened between Wednesday night and Sunday morning to mess all that up? Because nobody touched it. Nobody did anything to it. But somehow, it's one of those mysteries of our faith, Ken. And maybe God will be able to tell us. Then the joke is, I'll look at Ken and go, I don't even think the Lord will know the answer to that. What happens? When I get to heaven, though, when you get to heaven, and I don't know this for a fact, but this is just kind of the way I would like to see it. When I get to heaven, and I am welcomed into the open arms of Jesus, what a wonderful moment that will be. But I can imagine that I will be able to turn around and look back over my life, and my jaw will drop to my chest when I realize all of the miracles, all of the miracles that God performed for me, for my family, for my church, that I never even knew took place. Those miracles that are beyond what this little mind will ever be able to comprehend. One day I'll see it and I'll look back and go, I never knew. Look at those great miracles. Look at those great healings that you performed in my life that I never even knew existed. But right now, it's just a taste. It's just a small taste by faith. We accept that now. but it's just a taste of what is yet to come, and that is one of the great promises of God. Just hang on, Joel. I'm performing stuff for you that you don't even know about. You can't even see. You're blinded to this. But man, one day, Joel, hold on. Hang on, Joel. Persevere. By faith, trust me. One day, face to face, you'll see it all. What a promise from the Father. Now, I can't remember where I got this. I was talking with Eddie Highnote earlier, and Eddie said, do you have that written down? I said, yes, I do. He said, but you don't know where you got it? I said, no, I can't remember where I got it. And I hate that, because I would love to give somebody credit for this, but I do have it written down. Eddie said, I want that. Every joy has its limits. Every fruit has its bruise. Every relationship has its disappointments. Every service has its critics. Every birth has a nearby funeral. Everything breaks. Everything ages. Everything spoils. Everything rusts. Everything dies. Only God remains unchanged and glorious. Only God remains unchanged and glorious. And that is why Abraham put his faith in the permanent city. And that is exactly why Noah built an ark in the desert. And that is why Sarah trusted the promise of God. So where is your faith? What are you putting your faith in today? You putting your faith in that which will last for all eternity? Are you just putting your faith in that which will get you to the grave? And that's it. Where is your faith today? Father, thank you for a powerful word from Abraham, from Noah, from Sarah, who put their faith and trust in that which would last for all eternity. The one who would promise them not only the promise of today, but the promise of eternity. Thank you for that promise today, Lord. We need it. We live in a world that is falling apart. Every single day as I get older, I realize I'm falling apart. I need eternity. Thank you, Father, that today we can put our trust and our faith in that which will last for all eternity. Jesus, the good news, the gospel. In his name we pray. Amen. The invitation that we're going to sing is trust and obey. If you have a decision for Christ and you've never made a decision for Jesus, trust him by faith today. You've heard the gospel about faith and trusting the Lord, so trust him today. If you need to come and pray, join our church, whatever the Lord puts on your heart to do as far as the decision is concerned, do that now as we stand, as we sing.
When we walk with by what we trust and obey.
Please be seated. First of all, we have coming Walter and Gloria Adams. They're coming to us from a sister church here in Marshall County, and they know Christ as their Savior and Lord. They have followed Christ in believers' baptism. This is where they know, after being a part of First Baptist Church now for several months, this is where they know that the Lord wants them to worship and serve. So they are coming today with their letter from another church. All you are in favor of Walter and Gloria being a part of First Baptist Church, raise your hand. Seeing nobody opposed to that. So they'll be here at the front in just a moment when we're finished with our announcements. You come by and you say a word of encouragement to Walter and Gloria as they come to be a part of First Baptist Church today. All right, well, we got first of all, today at 2 o'clock, school prayer walk. If you'd like to go to one of our schools, we have four schools in the Gunnersville City School System. Go to one of those schools at 2 o'clock, and then somebody will be there leading a time of prayer for that particular school, the administrators, the kids as they go to that school. So just a great opportunity. We've been doing that for several years now. It'll be this afternoon at 2 o'clock, all right? Wednesday night here at church, Micah and Children's Ministry will be having family night at 6 o'clock. So kids, families, be here for that. It'll be a lot of fun, all right? Next Sunday is Move Up Sunday. So for our children moving up to the next grade, or for fifth graders moving up to the youth, they go from upstairs here all the way up to the youth building. So, and then junior high moving up to senior high. So that is Move Up Sunday with Warren and Heather and Micah with the children's ministry. All right. Ken, Pickers.
Yeah, next Sunday night right here in the sanctuary, we'll have a full Pickers concert starting at 6 o'clock. We're going to have a great time together. Last around an hour, maybe a little more. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So come, be a part of that. Invite your friends. It's a good outreach, maybe to get somebody that normally doesn't come to church or go to church anywhere. Get them plugged in for a music concert. We will do the chicken song that night. It is the most requested song. I don't know, but it is. But be ready for that. And also be in prayer. This Friday, we're supposed to have Alabama Public TV here filming Gospel Roots program. The Pickers will be a part of that program as well.
That's going to be a big deal.
It should be.
It's going to be a big deal. Look forward to that. All right. In 3 Sundays from today, is that right? No, 2 Sundays from today, there will be a baby shower in honor of Ken Patterson and Tammy Patterson's new grandchild. So that will be 2 weeks from today on August the 13th as we have a baby shower for the Odell family. And so that'll be in the fellowship hall. It'll be from 2 to 3. So look forward to celebrating with Morgan and John and Ken and Tammy and the family with new grandson coming into the family.
Church family just kind of poured in as Morgan and John began the process of adopting a child about 3 years ago. And just thank you so much, and we now have little baby Reggie, and it's such a blessing, and so hope that you'll be able to be a part of that.
Well, eventually we're going to see baby Reggie.
Right,
yeah.
He will be here. He's still following doctor's instructions.
Right.
And, so anyway, we're looking forward to the day he can come to church.
Yeah, that is correct. All right, so that will be a great celebration. We've got a new Sunday school class with many of our young couples and young singles are not involved in Sunday school or small group. We have two really big Sunday school for young couples, but we have a big group of young couples in our church and young singles that are not involved in either one of those two Sunday school classes. So we as a staff started talking and praying about this several years ago, actually. And so I've been talking to Kevin and Amy Hawk about taking on this new Sunday school class. So, through a lot of prayer, a lot of discussion, Kevin and Amy have decided on September the 10th, they're going to start this new Sunday school class for many of our young couples and young singles that are not involved in enrichment or P27. So that, we're really excited about that. Kevin and Amy are excited about taking that on. Be in prayer about that. We'll be communicating with all of these younger couples and young singles in our church family about starting that, but that will start September the 10th. Now, One of the things that we're doing on top of renovating our sanctuary, we're going to be renovating the carpet and redoing the carpet all in the hallway and upstairs hallways. We're going to be renovating our kitchen, so, and we're going to be doing the fellowship hall floor. So all of that stuff is going to push Wednesday night suppers back a week at least. So right now, tentatively, we are scheduled for Wednesday night, September the 30th, to start back suppers. Normally, we would start it back a week earlier, but the kitchen renovation should start Monday, August the 14th. So we're pushing a little too much by trying the 23rd. So we're going to push it back right now to the 30th. If things don't go the way we hope, then we'll push it back another week. So for right now, tentatively, September the 30th, but we'll have time to kind of give information. Yeah, Roy. August the 30th. Pardon me. Thanks, Roy. August, great. Thank you. That's a great save. August the 30th. So we're pushing it back a week is basically for right now. So hopefully that'll all be done. The dust will all settle. We'll be able to clean up all the mess and start everything back at the end of August, not September, the end of August. Don't sit in the sanctuary up there. That's not done and won't be completed for another couple of weeks, several weeks. And so other than that, we're good to go. We're glad that the new renovation has taken place. All right, anything else, Ken? Oh, the ice cream social for ice cream and salad for our senior adults has been postponed due to the renovation. They're starting on that Monday. They were supposed to have the ice cream and salad social on the Tuesday, the 15th. And so that's been postponed, and we'll let you know at a later time when that will be. His birthday. Speaking of our senior adults, is today your birthday? One more quick thing as we go. Paul has been putting together a video of all of the renovation. And next Sunday, we're going to be able to see from...
6 weeks long, right?
Yeah, 6 weeks long that Paul has put this thing together. He promises it's only about 3 minutes long. So we look forward to that. But Paul, happy birthday today. All right, let's stand and close. Come say a word to our new family that's joined, and as we close by singing, "To God be the glory."